Good morning. I hope you have a Bible, and I invite you to join me in the New Testament book of Galatians. We're in the third chapter, and I would like us to stand together as we read from Galatians chapter 3, and I want to begin with verse 5 to tie in today's text with the text we studied 2 weeks ago. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now that's a question. And now he answers it. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. May God bless our reading of His Word. You may be seated. I hope you'll keep your Bible open as we walk back through these verses and look at them. Now, Paul is writing to a congregation, a group of people, probably several groups of people in the region of Galatia, where he and Barnabas have recently conducted missionary or evangelistic efforts. In that region, predominant population was Gentile. This is the expansion of the church. And along the way, these Gentiles heard the gospel, believed the message, and placed their trust, their faith, in the one who created the gospel. Not Paul and Barnabas, rather Jesus, our Savior. The Judaizers who followed the Apostle Paul and Barnabas came around also believing that they were followers of Jesus. But they also believed they were children of Abraham. So they thought that they were in the covenant of faith because of their relationship with Abraham. They saw in Abraham the primary patriarch, a man who was a Jew, the first Jew. And they connected their relationship with God to their relationship with Abraham. And they believed that because Abraham had followed the law and had been circumcised, that he was therefore in a right relationship with God, and so were they in a right relationship with God. Now, what does all that have to do with you and me? It has everything to do with you and me, ladies and gentlemen, because there are many who believe just like, or as the text says, just as. Not Abraham, but the Judaizers. We believe just like the Judaizers. We believe, many mistakenly believe, that they are connected to God through the vehicle of their family relationship or by the link of their family relationship. You know, if you travel the world, you find that people around the world just assume that every American is a Christian because we've become known as a Christian nation. But authentic Christianity, real Christianity, is not something that is passed along through family relationships, nor is it granted to someone because of their national identity. We, true believers, are saved just as Abraham was saved. I want you to follow along with Paul's argument, and I hope that it will address what may be misunderstanding in your mind regarding a relationship with God. Now, he says in verse 6, just as. The Greek is the word kathos, translated just as. We would say just like. Just like Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, a right standing with God, being justified before God, just as. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is our righteousness, our standing before God, that comes to us by faith. Righteousness is by faith, and it was so with Abraham. It was the case with Abraham that his righteousness, his standing before God, his being declared right with God, was not a product of his heritage, his background, or his obedience to the law, or his circumcision. In fact, what we learn about Abraham was that Abraham was a man of faith and declared righteous before God before he even heard about circumcision. Go back and read the Old Testament story. He knew nothing about circumcision, but he was counted by God as righteous. You may not realize it, but ladies and gentlemen, Abraham was counted righteous before there even was a law. So it wasn't because of his recognizing or participating in some rite of passage like circumcision, and it wasn't because he measured up or lived up to the law, because the law hadn't even been written. But it's also true, folks, that Abraham was not a perfect person. I want you to understand that. Many people wonder if they're supposed to become righteous before God. How righteous do I have to be? How complete, how mature, how good do I have to be? Someone asked this question to Jesus, and Jesus responded, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, folks, I hope I don't have to say this, but I'm going to. We can't be perfect. And even if we were capable, not that we are, but even if we were capable of being perfect, what about our past? All of us know that the Scripture is right when it asserts all are sinners. We're all sinners. We have all come short of the glory of God. Abraham, though he was obedient to God, and though he did leave his homeland, and he did follow the leadership of the Lord, there were times along the way that Abraham simply did not do that. Abraham lied. He lied to King Abimelech, saying that his wife was his sister. And that was a half-truth. But a half-truth is a whole lie. Abraham was impatient with God, even though God had clearly and repeatedly made promises to Abraham. Those promises, prior to being fulfilled, were a source of tension for Abraham. So much so that upon Sarah's suggestion, Abraham took a handmaid of Sarah, had sexual relationships with her, and she became pregnant. Abraham, I'm simply saying, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't made righteous by his actions, because his actions fell short. And that is what all of us do. No one is made righteous by their actions. And even though Abraham was a man of great faith, don't forget he was a man of great faults as well. Now, some people want to point to the book of James and say, see, James says, no, you've got to be perfect through your works. James writes in James chapter 1, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. However, James is writing from a completely different perspective than the Apostle Paul is writing. The Apostle Paul is talking about the inception, how faith comes, how salvation comes to someone. And he argued it did not come to Abraham by means of his works. James was arguing regarding justification that justification moves forward through maturity and sanctification, and that sanctification is blessed, tested, matured by means of us obeying God and doing what God tells us to do. No one grows in God by disobeying God at every turn. They grow in their sanctification by being obedient. And that obedience, even that obedience, is stirred up and spawned by faith. By faith. And a living faith, a genuine faith, a real faith produces good works. Those good works embellish, decorate the good work that God has already done in our lives. We could quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 as Baptists, most of us. And we forget verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. So no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ladies and gentlemen, God, in saving you, is up to something. And what he is up to is making out of you someone that produces the deeds that Jesus did. Shocking, isn't it? But that's what Jesus does when he comes into our life. Let's move on. Having made it clear that righteousness is by faith, verse 7, Paul points to the next item. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now, these Judaizers could proudly point to the fact that they were offspring of Abraham in the sense that they were connected by their physical bloodline back to Abraham. They were linking themselves to the founder of their religion. But what the Apostle Paul says here, it is not a human bloodline that connects us with Abraham. He says here, it is those of faith. Those of faith who are sons. This word sons, if you have an English Standard Version, you will also often notice the word man or sons will be footnoted, that the general meaning of this is sons and daughters or brothers and sisters. But there's no such footnote here, and correctly so. The word sons, huios, is used because it is identifying the line of inheritance. The inheritance is through the sons. So you do not become a son of Abraham by your bloodline. You become a son of Abraham by faith. Heirs of Abraham. That means that these Gentiles in Galatia, having placed their faith, their saving faith in Jesus Christ, have been brought in to the actual lineage of Abraham. And those Judaizers who were counting on their blood relationship with Abraham evidently are not heirs of Abraham. Abraham represents the beginning of the way to salvation. So what he's saying is, it makes little to no difference who your blood relatives were, but it makes every difference who your faith connections are. Paul talks about it in terms of being grafted in, suggesting in the book of Romans, we may not have any Jewish lineage above us, behind us, but we belong in the lineage of inheritance to Abraham, because God has, through faith, put us into his lineage. You aren't in the lineage of Abraham accidentally. You are in the lineage of Abraham based upon your faith in God. How was Abraham saved? Well, it wasn't by his bloodline. It wasn't by his heritage. It was by faith. And just as Abraham became an heir of the blessings of God by faith, so you and I become heirs of all the blessings of God by faith. Look at verse 8. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the earth be blessed. Now, this is a citation out of Genesis chapter 15. Recognizing that God was opening his arms to the world, not based on family orientation, but rather based on faith, Abraham responded to God by faith. And therefore, listen, therefore, because of his faith in God, the gospel has continued to penetrate this lost world. Because of Abraham's faith, we have been blessed because we have the gospel. Hey, let me tell you something. Paul knew very clearly what the gospel was. If you want to discover the gospel in a nutshell, you will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read verses 1 through 4. Particularly verse 3. That's the gospel. Paul knew the content of the gospel. But what was it about that content that made it good news? What made it good news was that God was out to bless the world. Not condemn the world, not throw the world aside, but to bless the world. To gather the world to himself. And we know that he did that by means of the atonement. But the good news was this. Hear me. People argue about this. And while I don't know a lot about hair, I know when one is being split. People want to argue, what's the gospel? And somebody will say, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay, I get it. That's the content of the gospel. But what's the message of the gospel? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. God loves you. God cares for you. The good news is, he has made a way for you to be reconciled to himself. He's cleared the path. He has paid for your sins. That's good news. Now, you can't experience the good news apart from the content of the gospel, but don't get me wrong. The gospel is more than just the elements of it. It's the aim of it. Why did Christ die? Because God so loved the world. How do we receive the gospel? Same way Abraham did. By faith. By faith. You hear the message that God loves you that was demonstrated through the incarnation, God becoming flesh. Through the crucifixion, which was the atoning act of Christ, where he who knew no sin became sin for us. And then the burial, proving his death. Finally, the resurrection, proving his power. You believe that message. You trust what Jesus did for you. And just like that, in the same way Abraham was made right with God, you're made right with God. That is how anyone is saved. And that is the only way anyone is saved. Well, let's conclude verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed. That's a great word. It's the Greek word eulogeo, eu meaning good, and logeo meaning words, good words. You are blessed along with Abraham. I kind of picture this in my mind. I have no idea what heaven will be like. I don't. It will be different than I'm about to describe. I'm absolutely sure of that. But I have this picture that in heaven, we won't be looking at each other. I hear this so often. Well, I know my loved ones. You won't be looking for them. And that's secondary, and it will be secondary to you. You and I and every other believer back to Abraham will be looking at Christ, Savior and lover of our souls. We know about Abraham. We may even venerate him here on earth for his part in the continuing work of the gospel. But when we get to heaven, we will look right past Abraham to what he's looking at, which is his Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are blessed just as Abraham is blessed. So just like Abraham, all that we have in Christ Jesus is by faith. Would you bow your heads and pray with me?